WCSG Backstage gives you access to your favorite WCSG DJs from your family-friendly morning show, the most music for your middays, and a ride home.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve. And this is
WCSG Backstage.
Welcome to WCSG Backstage. Holidays are behind us, and it's time for the regular backstage crew to be back in full force. Sans Brittany, kinda. So yeah. We're almost back in full force. But let's get warmed up with this. Just about a month into the new year, describe your 2020 so far in five words. Tom, why don't you go first?
Okay, God has given me strength.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
I just feel really able and capable of tackling things that before were difficult for me. So I just feel like God's given me this burst of strength, and I'm just feeling good and ready for this new year.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, in a big way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mine was salads are my only meal because I decided that it was time to get – I think I mentioned this in one of the holiday podcasts, but in – even years, I lose weight, and odd years, I gain it back. And so now, since I'm in 2020, it's time to lose things again. So I've been hitting the gym, eating better. Wow. And I feel like every meal I do is a salad of some sort. Even if it's not really a salad, it's like, well, I want this burger, but no bun, so I'll put it with some salad. And so I just keep making salads out of everything.
Yeah.
That's good.
I guess.
Maybe if you continue with it, though, the internet's your friend. By the end of the year, you can find actual recipes that
you can
eat that aren't salad, right?
Exactly. Or I could start my own little salad blog. Here are all the various salads you can make.
I kind of prefer eating what I want and somehow calling it a salad.
Like a taco salad.
Yes, arranging it in a way that's like, that is salad-like. I'm eating it out of a bowl right now.
I just cut up this whole bacon cheeseburger in a bowl, threw a little lettuce on top, we have a salad.
It's a salad now.
Mm-hmm. My five words would be so much time in bleachers. I feel like with my four kids, this is a very busy sports time, even though it's winter, and it's indoor, so bleacher behind is a real thing instead of having the folding chair.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, my daughter's on three different soccer teams and playing basketball.
Wow.
And then I have another basketball player. My other son is playing basketball. And then I have another soccer player. So much time spent in bleachers. Hmm. It's good, but man alive.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
No back support with the bleachers.
No,
either.
So that's
very uncomfortable.
Unless you're those fancy people who have the magnetic chairs.
I was just going to say, I feel like you've got the kind of chair you bring with you and you set it up.
I feel like if I do that, that's a confession that I'm old.
Oh.
And so, I think I would really like that, but also I'm just not ready to be there yet.
Accept that.
Okay.
So let me ask you this.
Oh.
If someone got you one of those as a gift, would you use it and then just tell everybody, I got it as a gift?
Yes, probably.
You just proclaim it every time you walk in the gym. It's a gift.
Or I get to the things really early and get the bleacher that has the wall behind it.
Oh, yeah.
So then it's like, oh, built in. Yeah. Then I don't have to tell people that my back hurts.
Well, my five words, I went a different route.
Okay.
I didn't make a sentence out of it.
Okay.
I just thought back over whatever it's been now, 3 weeks, and just kind of, I don't know, I just assembled five words.
Random words.
We're random. They're very random.
Okay.
Pot, kettle, first love. I'm calling that one word because there's a hyphen.
Sure.
And severe weather.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't even really know if I want to give a whole lot of explanation.
Okay.
I'm interested in what pot means, but...
Well, it's legal in Michigan now.
Sure is.
And there's a lot of talk. Not here really so much at WCSG, but in my personal life, people in my life are talking a lot about, it. And of course, I can take a hard line on that debate because of the addictive nature of such things. And then I kind of have to look at myself and things that are maybe not substances like that, but things in my life that can become addiction.
Sure.
And so I got to make sure I'm not being judgmental. And so I need to not be the pot calling the kettle black.
Oh.
See? So
it's like the Jim Gaffigan sketch he does about McDonald's. He's like, maybe you're not addicted to McDonald's, but we all have our own McDonald's.
Yes.
Whether it's gossip or whatever. Right. We all have, it's all McDonald's.
Exactly. So anyway, that was where that came from. And also, we, for the last two weekends, as of the recording of this podcast, there's been the threat of severe weather. And
yes.
The sky is falling and we're Chicken Little.
Yes. Very much so. What? The what?
Well, What the What is back. If you are new to the podcast, each of us searches the internet high and low for the craziest story we can find, and then we come back and share it with the group. Tom, you get to go first.
Okay. Well, a California man who asked a caricaturist to draw his portrait ended up allegedly stealing money from the artist who gave police the cartoon-like drawing in hopes they would catch the thief.
Giant head,
yeah.
All in black and white.
Sure.
Some weird mouth thing going on.
And in a car with really big wheels in the back and a big engine in the front.
Yeah, well, the suspect asked the artist for a portrait of himself, but just as the caricaturist had finished, the suspect grabbed the artist's money bag containing roughly $500 and fled on foot, leaving the drawing behind. The police said, "Do you recognize this caricature on Facebook?" And they said, "No, we are not kidding." But they followed it up with the caricatures of the suspect, but of course has exaggerated characteristics and features, and doesn't look quite like him. But here's a drawing.
We'll have that on our page, WCSG.org, keyword backstage.
Hopefully they find the man.
That is so great.
I feel like in the art world, which none of us really is a part of that world, I feel like caricature should be, they consider it a crime in itself.
Right.
Like that kind of art, that form
cartoony.
Of...
cartoony.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a crime within a crime.
Yeah, exactly.
So they haven't found him yet?
Not that I know of.
He's still at large.
Yeah. Man, really, like literally,
really
everything's
really,
large.
Really, really
about
large. Yes.
Cheeks. If he
eyes,
made any
nose.
Money doing that job, he's a career criminal caricature artist. Sorry.
Wow. What the what for 2020? Off to a really good start.
All right. Well, if you are a pet lover, you're going to want to make friends with Teresa Furrer. Furrer, F-U-R-R-E-R, and it's, I guess it works out that her last name has fur in it because she's a lifelong knitter and crocheter, and she is helping pet owners keep their beloved animals close to their hearts by knitting the animal hair into garments and accessories that they can wear. And I kid you not,
so itchy.
The name of her... the name of her business is called Nine Lives Twine.
Of course. Oh, my.
And so basically, like, if you lose your pet, you would, like, provide her with hair, and she can, like, weave it into a hat or weave it into different things that you can wear and enjoy. And at one point, she, like, even wove, like, knitted it into an actual, like... cat-shaped cat, like a little hair statue.
My hair cat.
Hair statue. But this all stemmed out of a very traumatic situation she had where she lost her pet and she was trying to think of other ways to remember them because it took so long to have it taxidermied. So she thought, what's a quicker way, a better way to remember my lost loved
one? And nobody
one?
Mentioned photography.
A photograph, no. Yes!
Photographs apparently weren't on anybody's
drawing.
Radar.
Yeah.
Or a character work. Drawing. So...
this is what I assume is that there is a label like for care, like do not machine wash, lick clean only.
Potentially. Now she has had to do a lot of trial and error.
Of course.
Because like dog hair and there's so many different kinds and even cat hair, like to try and weave it into a yarn or like, you know, spin it into a yarn is very difficult. And it's taken a lot of trial and error to get it to that point. So then you can use it to crochet or knit into certain things.
Hmm. Yeah.
Isn't your mom a knitter or crocheter?
My mom does that stuff, but she doesn't do it with animal hair. And if you don't have enough, then she'll blend it in with like alpaca or llama hair. So like it's,
so what do you do
so it's not pure.
After your pet passes, like you go around on the couch
with
and,
one
like,
of those big sticky
or
the sticky roller thing, and just I don't know
you
how
to think about this beforehand. You got to collect them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
and
that's the thing. It didn't explain how they go about collecting the hair, but
or maybe at
they
the
shave the cat.
Maybe at the vet.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like deer.
Yeah. Before,
wait. Don't bury it yet.
Yeah.
Get the clippers.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
very,
what
it is. It's probably.
Oh, yeah.
What do they do with cats that are hairless? Is this an option for you or no?
That's
they
then we go back to an episode of our early podcast where we talked about the skin dolls.
Oh, whoa.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness. Horrible. You could dress the skin dolls in the cat fur sweater.
It's this like a whole terrible new thing on American Girl, though.
All right. Oh, no.
Okay, here's what I've got. Don't go to Alaska for dental work, I think is just a good rule of thumb. This dentist in Anchorage, Alaska, has been convicted on dozens of charges after he was filmed.
Yes.
Extracting a patient's tooth as he stood on a hoverboard.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
That's just what got the attention of the Alaska Department of Law, because he's been convicted on 46 felony and misdemeanor counts in the Anchorage Superior Court. The judge called the evidence overwhelming. Basically, the lawsuit was filed charging him with unlawful dental acts. Now, this particular case where he's standing on the hoverboard doing the extraction, he said, well, they said that his patient care didn't meet professional standards.
You think?
Right. Went on to say the dentist performed a dental extraction on a sedated patient while riding a hoverboard. He filmed this procedure. He did that. He filmed it himself, and he was kind of joking and boasting, saying this sets a new level of like a new standard
stupidity
of care.
Oh.
Right. But he's like goofing off, basically. But they charged him. Really, the big problem was medical assistance fraud. He billed Medicaid for procedures that were either unnecessary or, you know, just couldn't be justified. Like, he's sedating patients who don't need to be sedated, so he can charge Medicaid that, you know? But this is what I thought was interesting. The patient testified that she did not consent to being filmed while sedated, nor to having her tooth taken out while the dentist was on a hoverboard. She didn't even know.
Man.
I know.
Well,
she had no
this
idea. Well, that's
did he have a selfie stick either on a hoverboard pulling a tooth? I mean, what's going on here?
That would be interesting to see. Yeah, like, I feel like there's got to be some
I saw a clip of it as I was scrolling through Facebook, and it looked like there was somebody videotaping him while he was doing it.
Right.
But to me, it doesn't seem, I'm not advocating this kind of behavior because you're a professional. But in the home, like, there's so many people coming up with different ways on how to, you know, take out their child's tooth, whether it's a remote control car with a string tied to the loose tooth or something like that. How is this really
because
any different?
You have not been to dental school.
Well,
this
and
guy
also,
is an actual dentist.
You're not, you know, forking over hundreds of dollars to your dad who just, you know.
Is he going to go to jail?
Well, the sentencing is scheduled for April, but the dentist's lawyer apologized on his client's behalf in court. He said, "It's unacceptable, and be assured that when I agreed to represent him, I got in his face and told him what I thought about him doing." And then the patient addressed the dentist in court and said that he could have made better choices.
Yeah,
that's pretty gracious polite response.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the hoverboard isn't the only thing he's in trouble for, though. Like,
right.
He's also got one where he's trying to juggle instruments while he's doing it, or, I don't know.
Flaming torches.
Right. Oh, what a bad choice that was.
But I wonder if it was something like, okay, on a hoverboard, I can really
just
get,
like,
a lot
pull back
of momentum.
And get a lot of,
right, just hold on to that pliers or whatever.
Or he started at one end of the hallway, and then he just drove real fast, and then just, like, quick yanked it out on the way through, so he's got a lot of momentum.
Or you
going
get paid per patient, right? So you can get from one to the next,
moving,
to the next.
Yeah.
He's just working smarter, not harder.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Probably remember the next time you go to the dentist and your guy's on a Segway scooter.
Yeah. My last trip to the dentist was great, so.
Oh, no.
Maybe he watched Back to the Future Part 2, and one of Biff's cronies actually lost a tooth in that whole process, and he's like, see, hoverboards.
It totally works.
Yeah. Different kind of hoverboards.
All right. Mine isn't good compared to yours, but we'll go there. So Christmas Day is like the one day everything is closed, like, except for maybe CVS Pharmacy. You know, everybody gets to take the day off. And there was a guy who really had a craving for Taco Bell, but they weren't open. And so he's like, well, I guess I can just take matters into my own hands. And so what he did at 12:15 a.m., like, just as Christmas is getting started, he breaks into the restaurant, not by, like, breaking through the door, but he climbed in the drive-thru window.
Of course.
He went in and he made himself a meal. He fried himself some whatever, and then he decided to take a nap on the restaurant floor, and then 3 hours later, he left, but before he left, he decided to take a laptop and a tablet with him.
Oh.
So...
Good on him to know how to use the equipment, though.
Absolutely.
I guess.
He may have gotten away with it if he had actually made a run for the border.
Oh, no.
Literally.
If he had thought outside the bun.
What?
If he had thought outside the bun.
Yeah.
Wow, y'all.
So if you could break into a Taco Bell and make whatever you wanted, what would you be making?
Oh.
Would you create your own thing? Would you stick with something that they make? I love the Crunchwrap myself.
I like the chili cheese burrito.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like the double layer, whatever they're called, where there's the taco shell, but then the soft shell around that.
Yes. What is that? Is that a gordita?
To it with, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I would eat a lot of those too. I just eat endless hard shell tacos.
Yeah.
I would just layer them. I would just make the shells bigger and bigger and bigger.
See how many you can get around.
How many layers of shell?
I would be interested to use the sour cream gun myself.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like
a caulking gun.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's one of those things where they make it look easy, but if you were to try it, it would be all over the place.
Yeah. Where does he sleep at a Taco Bell?
Is that on the floor, which is really disgusting. I hope.
I mean, find a booth at least.
Yeah. The booths are hard too, though.
That's true.
Really hard for mica booths.
And everything is so brightly colored. Like, there's no rest happening in there. Everything's just so vibrant. You got the Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
Right.
Like, yeah. So, so much flavor.
Maybe your tummy is so full you go into just a taco food coma.
It's tough to climb through those drive-through windows.
Especially after you've eaten the Taco Bell.
He couldn't get back out.
I gotta wait a minute here. They're so tiny. How'd he get in?
Tell me something good.
What the What isn't the only Backstage Fun to return. It's time to share those good news stories with Tell Me Something Good. Steve, what did you bring?
Well, apparently, this started out as not so much feeling very good.
like the guy who slept at Taco Bell.
It ended up well. There was a woman with dementia reported missing for about 6 days in Northern California, and she was found alive last week in a snow-covered vehicle. Her vehicle had basically turned into her igloo.
Wow.
The county sheriff's office said in a news release that at around noon, there was a sheriff's helicopter searching the area and spotted the vehicle, matched the description, at least the general shape of the vehicle, because it was covered in snow. But the driver, 68-year-old Paula James, was found awake and conscious. She said, "I am very cold. I hope you brought a blanket."
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. And so they brought her to the hospital, where family members reported that she had some frostbite, but nothing really severe.
6 days.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Right. About 50 miles north of her home. And about 150 yards off the roadway.
Wow.
Didn't really explain how she ended up there.
Probably thought the road went that direction. And
yeah, probably one
that.
Of those things. And what she did is, over the course of those 6 days, is she would just periodically turn on the car to get some heat going.
Smart.
And then she had a blanket or two, and she used also like floor mats to just kind of cover up. But she was dehydrated and slight frostbite, but other than that, she was doing all right.
My kids always think I'm insane, because if the weather is bad and we're driving, like, hey, y'all need boots, gloves, hats, just put them in the car. Even if you don't put them on, we need them in the car just in case something happens, because that stuff does happen every once in a while.
And you never know when.
I'm glad she got rescued, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure her family's really happy, too.
Mm-hmm. They had given up on her, basically.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
And then that's going to make for an awkward next holiday gathering. Like, hey, y'all.
Y'all remember when you forgot about me? Yeah. I'm back now.
Yeah. And none of you get a Christmas present.
All right. Well, let me tell you the story about Bunter the cow. Bunter used to be friends with his cousin, Rosie, but Rosie passed away a few months ago. And as Bunter became more and more lethargic over the death of his friend, the owner became more concerned about the cow's well-being. Well, doing a little research, he found that adopted animals, like a goat, can help bring some encouragement and love to other animals. So he adopted Peaches, the therapy goat, in order to help boost Bunter's spirits. And the plan worked like a charm.
Now, let me ask you.
Cow is doing amazing.
I'm just going to step in here. When Bunter, travels, like when Bunter flies...
Gets a carry on.
Is he able to bring the goat?
As far as I know, if he does some traveling.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. Peaches and Bunter, they're having a great time. Well, all of a sudden, Peaches goes missing.
No.
Oh, no.
Peaches is
Bunter.
Gone. And so the owner is left heartbroken after the goat disappeared mid-December, but so is the cow. They watch a lot of crime and investigation TV, and so they started doing some investigating and found out that Peaches was stolen. So now this makes the situation even worse. Well, they start doing some digging around, and they end up finding Peaches. She is back. They were able to reunite them. The goat was even given a police escort back home once they got the police yeah. involved. And the person who had her had bought the goat from somewhere else, so whoever had stolen it sold off the goat.
Oh, wow.
And so now they're back, and they have been reunited, overjoyed with each other, and yeah, so everything is
Did
good.
Did Bunter have a comment?
Okay, so I don't know that Bunter was available for comment, but the owner said now that Peaches is back, Bunter's overjoyed. They've been trying to share a kennel together, but they don't fit. Peaches really does provide a therapy for Bunter through her companionship. I'm so glad they're back together.
That is a moving story.
Very.
That's good. They really should microchip both Bunter and Peaches.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would.
So if they get lost, they're both gone.
That's right.
At least got each other. Whoever stole them, they got each other.
We did 4-H growing up, and that was kind of a thing, like, to try and break our steers to get them to be able to walk, you would tie them head to head with a donkey.
Oh.
And then when they got out of control, the donkey would
yeah.
give them a little kick. And then it kept them in. So they could tie them together.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say they couldn't, but I'm not.
Just seemed like an unlikely pairing, a cow yeah, and a goat.
Right.
But
yeah. Have you, any of you read Otis, the tractor?
I've never read it. No. I've seen it.
It is the story of a tractor and a cow that have a friendship and they get separated and then they.
Really?
Yeah. Your grandkids would love it. Okay. You should find it. All or right. I can bring it in.
Okay.
My kids are too big for stories anymore.
Oh, no. We're about to get emotional, folks.
Yeah, well, speaking of books, that's what my stories are.
All right.
I've never heard of this before, but it's called a tumbleweed day for a bookstore that was 100 years old. For the first time in their history, this bookstore in England posted pictures on social media, said, oh, well, it was a tumbleweed day today. They didn't sell a single book. Mm-hmm. And they said it's been a really rough time for bookstores, obviously, because, you know, people can buy stuff online and they just don't buy as many in actual bookstores anymore. Well, they tweeted these pictures of Tumbleweed Day and this writer named Neil Gaiman, he's from England.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Have you heard of him before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He retweeted these pictures and then all of a sudden people started buying books from this bookstore.
Awesome.
So they said they were very close to the end. They didn't know if they'd be able to be open the rest of the week. And it's hard for them to admit, like, sales were really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
But now, since people have become more aware of it, they've been shopping at the store.
Nice.
And they're not open on Sundays, but they said now they dedicate Sundays to, on their social media, featuring another store that could use people's help.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
My story is kind of close to home. Howard Kirby got the surprise of his life last month when he found over $43,000 in cash inside a couch he'd purchased at Habitat for Humanity Restore in Owosso, Michigan.
Well,
I always buy the wrong couches.
I know.
I only
right?
find socks and juice box wrappers. Like, oh, maybe a
this
quarter.
Is why I never sell any of my couches.
Yeah,
because you never know.
Yeah, right.
What kind of money you're giving away?
Apparently, he purchased the couch to outfit his man cave, but said the ottoman felt odd and uncomfortable. His daughter eventually unzipped the cushion to examine it further and discovered stacks of $100 bills. A total of $43,170 was found inside the couch.
Not
but
bad.
Kirby didn't feel morally right keeping it. He went back to the store to seek out the original owner and tell them about the cash. Kim Newberry came into possession of the couch after her grandfather, the original owner, passed away last year. She said she had no idea there was money inside it when she gave it away. The Restore surprised her on Thursday when this was written by calling her down to the shop and returning every last dime that Kirby had found.
So her grandfather was storing money in there
because
those older generations don't trust the banks.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so I donated enough stuff, I think, to Goodwill, other places. I never give them my name. So if I did have $43,000 tucked away in a coat pocket, they wouldn't be able to track me down.
But this was a larger item.
Do they take your name
for
a larger item?
Well, maybe the Habitat for Humanity has got a different policy.
Different than Goodwill, yeah.
Right. But seriously, man, every one of those thrift places I go shopping at now, I'm going to be feeling the ottomans. Is this kind of lumpy?
Your wife keeps asking, why do you keep laying on everything? No, just checking.
Checking things.
I give her a lot of credit for being brave, though, because I listen to way too much true crime podcasts.
Yeah.
And like I would assume like, ooh, this is feeling weird. There's a dead body in here. Like or I wouldn't unzip it.
Yeah.
Just like, we'll just get rid of it. It's just lumpy or whatever.
Can you imagine? There's a fossilized squirrel. Is that worth anything? Can we get any money from that? Well, thank you for listening to WCSG Backstage, and thanks for showing your support every time you download, review, and share this podcast. Remember, you can join the podcast at backstage@wcsg.org. We so enjoy hearing from you, and WCSG Backstage is sponsored in part by
Fast Signs of Grand Rapids. You have a great business, but where are your customers? Maybe they can't see you. Your business deserves to be seen. Building, trade show, event, and vehicle signage. Mention WCSG, by the way, and receive a 10% discount off of your order. Fast Signs. More than fast, more than signs.
Well, we haven't quite hit the changing of the seasons, but when you get there, if you want to plan ahead, Kid to Kids Resale, a great place. They buy all seasons all the time, clothing from newborn through maternity. You get cash or store credit to use on other kids' stuff in the store. And in fact, actually, you get 20% more than you do at other places. So buying is a great deal. They have 85% off retail prices as well. If you don't have anything to donate, just go in there and shop. They do buy shoes, toys, equipment, everything. It's locally owned and operated. Then they'll even donate some of those items that you can't sell or donate yourself. They'll take care of that and get rid of it for you. Kid to Kid Resale.
Learn more about our sponsors, and just for review, that's Fast Signs and Kid to Kid Resale, and all of the above at podcast@wcsg.org. The keyword is backstage.
Would you rather?
Well, we love hearing from you, and when we say that, we mean it. Which is why we're excited for Would You Rather. We have some listener suggestions this time around. Zoe reached out through the WCSG app and asked,
would you rather only be able to write or type on a typewriter, or only be able to use $1 bills for the rest of your life?
Okay, man. So I was a waitress for a while, and I feel like for a good season of my life, I paid with everything with $1 bills. Mm-hmm.
Was it How'd convenient?
Well, I would often go into the bank and be like, I need to trade these in for like bigger bills. They would look at me like,
what do you do for a living?
Like, I wait tables. So part of me says the $1 bills because like you'd feel super wealthy all the time.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I'm going to pay my mortgage.
Fat stacks.
Several $100.
I've got a briefcase.
Pull out the microband.
It's always handcuffed to your arm.
But if you think about the bills you pay in like a month, like that's a lot of $1 bills.
It is. So there's a lot of driving involved. You can't do it over the internet anymore. You can't send a check. You've got to bring all these dollar bills down to Comcast or wherever you're going.
Right. And like if they're office is like in Ohio. Yeah. Like you gotta
seriously, or pay the postage for $500 in an envelope,
or get a courier, to do it for you.
As fun as the idea of a typewriter is, the ka-chunk, ka-chunk, how satisfying that is. There's just so much to do with it. You've got the ribbons. You've got the ink. If you make errors, there's the keys all get stuck together. Everything. So I'm totally doing dollar bills from here on out.
Although she didn't say like an old timey typewriter, there were like electric typewriters like in the 80s.
Old timey,
still,
I mean, right?
Still old timey.
Imagine how much like typing you now do on your phone.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
every text message,
you'd have to use
a typewriter to your smartphone so you can still send text messages.
You, like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Create emojis with this typewriter.
But, like even to write a grocery list, you couldn't like just jot it down on a piece of paper. Like, gotta go get the typewriter.
Ka-ching,
milk, eggs.
And if it isn't electric, then you gotta plug it in. Yeah. You just gotta warm up. You know,
bring a battery with you everywhere you go.
Yeah. Backspace. I'm also on the pay the dollar, $1 cash camp.
Me too.
That would make you probably spend less.
That's
because
what,
you'd be like, I don't feel like paying that cable thing, so I'm just not going to have to cable.
And think how much fun
I'm
you could have.
I'm not signing up for this loan because I'm going to have to, every monthly payment is going to be stupid $1 bills. I got to somehow ship to the place.
But think about how much fun you could have just like handing out little, you know, dollar bills are easy things to give away and donate. Whereas if you've only got 20s, it's harder to let go.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, we also heard from Max, who reached out at backstage@wcsg.org and asked, would you rather wear shorts all winter long or pants all summer long?
Oh, ooh.
Pants.
Pants.
I feel like I'm going to do pants because I've noticed that as you get older, you're able to bear the pants in the summer.
Yes.
I see older men with pants in the summer all the time, and I want to melt. Oh, also at the gym. They walk on the treadmill in jeans, and I'm like, slow down, dude. You're going to start a fire or something. Like, there's a lot of friction there.
That would probably be me. If I went to the gym, I would same with hauling the typewriter around. I don't want to haul this gym bag everywhere and change my clothes just to get on a treadmill. That's why I'm not a member of a gym. But if I had to be a member of a gym, I don't know that I wear jeans. But something, I don't know. Something that could work at the office and at the gym.
I think the only thing worse would be corduroy. Because it would be so much louder. Yeah,
that would be.
Like the large gauge corduroy.
Yeah. So not only is the treadmill loud, my elephant feet on the treadmill are loud. And then I have the corduroy.
Plus, you got this giant pocket full of $1 bills just bulging out on the side.
How much is my membership this month? Okay. I'll pay it while I'm here. Tom, what did you say?
Pants all summer long. Yeah. I wear linen pants.
Oh, that's true. You do.
It didn't say jeans. That's true.
Anyways. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Breathable.
Yeah. See, either my option is shave all year long or not shave all year long.
Right. I have a feeling.
It's only a matter of time and efficiency.
Less work. Yeah.
Right. I have a feeling that nice. Max hasn't yet achieved like our level of oldness. So, like, that seems like a viable option to wear shorts all winter.
Yeah, true. I mean, and some people do.
Mm-hmm. But then teenage boys.
What footwear do you wear with shorts, though? That's because you can't wear sandals all winter.
Boots, and then you really look fun.
Yeah.
And that's what teenage boys do now. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. Hmm. Like, why do you have your sweatpants tucked in your socks and you're wearing old man van shoes? Like, it makes no sense. But that's what they do.
Hey, thanks again for listening to WCSG Backstage. It is good to be back, and it has been a minute, as my kids say, since we have done this. We are going to close things out with a deep cut. Jeremy, it is your turn. What did you bring to share?
Excited to bring you new music from Colony House. Comprised Caleb, Will Chapman, Stephen Curtis Chapman's sons, a couple other guys. They've got two albums under their belt. They continue to grow in popularity. Saw that they'll be playing Bonnaroo Music and Art Festival this June, so they're kind of doing that thing where they climb up. But the song is called Where I'm From. It's from their new album that just dropped this month. The album's called Leave What's Lost Behind. A song features vocals, lyrics, sounds that you've come to enjoy from this group. It's just very mellow, but it's just, I don't know, it's just so intriguing to hear. It's very different than what I hear from a lot of stuff. Can't wait for the full album, but Colony House, Where I'm From, and they've even got a neat little music video for it as well.
Awesome. All right.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve, and this is WCSG Backstage.
Where I'm from, illuminated lanterns glow and never flicker when storm winds blow. The scent of cedar, the taste of citrus on my tongue, the sound of silence, all feel like I can see it in the eyes of my son and the eyes of my daughter. Where I'm from, where I'm from, the lost and broken sing along in every language, a sacred song.